All right, so this thing hangs in the hallway of our house, and you probably have something similar in your house. Maybe use the back of a door, door jamb, door frame, whatever. Maybe you have something just like this. And if you do have something just like this, you know exactly what it's for. Chelsea and I use this in our home to track growth. Right? Well, we want to see how our kids have grown. We want to see year to year, you know, beginning of a school year to end of a school year, Christmas to Christmas, New Year's to New Year's, whatever. We're looking at a certain season of life and we're tracking their growth, right? We've got marks way down here when the kids were little. And as the kids have gotten older, we're tracking their growth up through there. Chelsea is getting a little nervous because one of them is very close to overtaking her, right? And being a little bit taller than her, right? And so you've done this before. You've seen kids grow. Your parents saw you grow. That's just how it is. We're excited when we see growth in our kids. We're excited when we see growth in people. And the question that I've got for you this morning, as we get started, as you're looking at this, as you're thinking about growing up, my question for you is very simple. Are you still growing? Think about that for a second. All right, if you're taking notes right at the top of your page, that's the question everything else is going to flow from today. Are you still growing? And I don't mean, are you getting taller still? Are you measuring yourself on this? Chelsea and I are not getting tall. We're not measuring ourselves on that. When I ask, are you still growing? You might say, well, yeah, I'm growing, but not taller. I'm growing away that I wish I wasn't. I'm not talking about that either, right? What I'm talking about, when I ask you the question, are you growing, is this. I want you to consider your heart, right? Are you growing daily in your heart, in your love for Jesus? Is your relationship with him becoming more intimate, more deep, more real, more personal each and every day? Listen, we're in the middle of a relationship series. We're looking at genuine and real and authentic relationships. We're talking about those things. And this morning, we're talking about the most important relationship that any of us could ever step into. And that's a relationship with our Creator. That's a relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's a relationship with the one that loves you more than anyone else. And here's the deal. The question with that is just simply this. Are you growing in that relationship? If you've got a Bible, open up to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, it's in the New Testament, sort of right in the middle of the New Testament. In the book of Colossians, it was written to Christians. It was written to a group of believers, to a church family, who, just like you and just like me, this group of Christians was called to grow in their relationship with Jesus, right? These Christians, just like you and just like me, they lived in a world that was fighting hard for their hearts. And here's the thing. When you look at this, when you study this book, you're going to notice something. You're going to notice that some of these believers were growing. Right, some of these believers were at a place where each and every day, year in and year out, they could see growth in their spiritual journey or their walk with Christ. But as you read this, you're also going to see that there were a lot of believers that were receiving this letter that were not growing in their walk with Jesus, right? They weren't growing every day closer to him. Instead, their hearts were captured by the things of this world. And the same is true for us. We're going to be in one of those two camps. We're going to be growing in our love for Jesus, or we're going to be growing in our love for the things of this world. And so knowing that, Paul writes this letter to them and ultimately to us, reminding us of how critically important it is to grow in our relationship with Christ. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse 6. We're just going to look at a couple of verses here this morning, and we're going to dig deep in them. Colossians 2, verse 6, God's word says this, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." Christians here are told, here is the plan. Step into a relationship with Jesus, and then grow, right? Break the verse down into steps. Look at the beginning of verse 6, right out of the gate, we see the most important step any person will ever take. Step one for all of us in this room is receive Jesus Christ as Lord. If we're going to grow up in a relationship with Christ, we have to be in a relationship with Christ. I'm going to be honest with you. Currently, right now, I am not growing in my relationship with Jose Altuve, okay? I'm not. Right? Why not? I don't have a relationship with Jose Altuve. I don't know him. He doesn't know me. Right? And therefore, we are not growing in our relationship. If you're going to grow in your relationship with Christ, you have to be in a relationship with Christ. You have to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. As we read this, what we see, that's the case for the people that are getting the letter. They know Jesus as Lord. They've received him as Lord. They're Christians, not because of their family. They're Christians, not because of their good deeds or because they go to church. These people are Christians because they've trusted in Jesus as Lord. Before we can talk about growing up, we need to understand what it means to be in a relationship with Christ in the first place. Romans 10:9 says this, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We step into the relationship in the first place by confessing Jesus is Lord, believing with all our heart that God raised him from the dead after he died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, right, as our Lord and Savior. Listen, we know and understand our sin separates us from a holy God, but he loved us enough to send Jesus to take the punishment for our sins, and by believing in him and him alone as our Lord and Savior, the Bible says we become children of God. We step into a relationship with him. And this morning, if you can't say with certainty, I know I'm in a relationship with Christ, that's your first step. Trust Jesus as Lord. And know this, when you step into a relationship with him, it will change how you live. This is not a maybe situation. This is a reality. It changes how we live. That's step two. Look at verse 6 again. Therefore, as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, what's step two? He says, so walk in him. Our second step in God's word this morning is this. If you've received Jesus as Lord, live like Jesus is Lord, right? Let it be a reflection in your life. The verse says to walk on him. It's a simple concept. When we say with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, Paul is saying, now walk it out with your life. You've heard the phrase, walk the talk. That's what this is. You walk it out in your life like Jesus is Lord. When we say that somebody is Lord in our lives, what are we saying? We're saying they're in charge, right? If they're the Lord in our life, we're submitting to their authority in our lives. We're submitting to their influence over our lives. To put it really simply, when we say Jesus is Lord, there is this heavenly acknowledgement where we look up to God and we say, listen, it's not me anymore. It's not about me anymore. It's all about you. You're the boss in my life. Listen, it's a very, very simple concept, right? But sometimes it's more difficult in reality. Why? Well, because a lot of us like to be in charge. A lot of us like to be in control. A lot of us like to do our own thing. Listen, me too, right? All of us, what we have this thing in our heart and our lives where we try to battle and do things our own way, where we try to stay in control. And we can see it play out in our lives in so many funny and interesting ways. Here's one for me. When we go on a road trip, I drive. Right? Chelsea's a great driver. She's a safe driver. She offers to drive. It doesn't matter if we're driving 3 hours or 24 hours. I will not get out of the driver's seat. And she laughs at me. Why? I don't like to give up control. Right? I like to hold on to it very, very tight. And listen, I know that I am not the only one. But here's the thing. When we say Jesus is Lord, what we're telling him, right? It's not just words that we say. It is an acknowledgement of our heart, our position in relation to him. We're saying that he is now in control. And so as we chart the priorities of our lives, as we chart the direction of our lives, as we chart the focus of our lives, well, we're not doing it based on our desires and our goals anymore. If we're saying Jesus is Lord, we chart out our entire lives based on the Word of God. We chart out our entire lives based on the heart of God. Why would we do that? Because we've acknowledged that Jesus is Lord. Look how the verse builds. Look back in your Bibles, Colossians chapter 2. You receive Jesus as Lord, then you live like he's Lord. You walk it out. It's your heart. It's your priorities. It's your motives. It's your actions. It's your attitude. It's your words. It's all of those things wrapped up into the fact that he is in charge. We're doing what he says. We receive him, we live like he's Lord, and then finally we see that as we live like he is Lord, the command for us is to grow spiritually. That's step three. You receive him, you walk in him, and then you grow in him. You are growing up spiritually. Verse 7 says, after you've confessed that he's Lord and you begin living like it, it says you're rooted in him, you're built up in him, you're strengthened in your faith, just like you were taught. You're going back to the basics of the gospel and you're being strengthened in that. And then it says overflowing with thankfulness. Look at that verse. When we trust Christ, the imagery that we're given is not the imagery of a finish line. It's not, all right, listen, you have done what you set out to do. You've trusted in Christ. Now you finished the race. Go on and do your thing. That's not the imagery the Bible gives us anywhere when it talks about being in a relationship with Christ. All of these words here are growth words. We are called to be in a relationship with him so that we can then grow up in our relationship with him every single day. Our hearts should be growing to love him more. And that brings us back to the question. We start at the very beginning. Where are you in your love for Jesus? Are you growing? Right? Can you see? Can people see in your life that this notion of your heart growing in a deep, intimate, abiding love for him each and every day? Are you growing in him? Or would you say that you're just sort of stuck right now? Listen, spiritual growth in our lives is an amazing thing. It's a transforming thing, right? Each and every day as we grow, we look, we act more and more like Christ. We point people to Jesus. We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth, like we talked about this past week. It's an incredible thing. There's so many great stories that I could share with you about spiritual growth. One of my favorites is about a kid named Vincent. Chelsea and I know him well. He came to our church when he was a teenager. And here's the incredible thing. Vincent's parents at the time didn't go to church. They weren't believers. And so as Vincent started coming to our church, he walked to church each and every Sunday until he started bumming rides from other people at church. But here's the thing. He received Jesus as Lord, right? He was starting to walk like that, and he was doing everything that he could to grow up in his relationship with Christ. Listen, when I met him, right, he spiritually, right, he was a new believer. He was a child. He was a baby. But he did what it took for him to grow in his relationship with Jesus. And every day, every week, every month, year in and year out, we could see him growing in his love for Jesus. We could see him growing in his love for people. And that now that he is grown physically, he continues to grow spiritually. His wife is growing spiritually. They're teaching their kid to grow spiritually. They move to another part of the world because their desire is to see other people grow in their love for Jesus each and every day. It's an incredible thing. But here's the thing that I want you to see, know, and understand. I can think back to a time in his life when he was a new believer, right? When he was a child. And I think about him now and what God has done in his heart. And let me just say, his heart is not in the same place today as it was when he was 13. Something's happened in him. He has grown up spiritually. Every day, he has fallen more and more and more in love with Jesus. And I'm just going to say, you can see it in his life. You can see it in the way that he lives. You can see it in his priorities. You can see it in his goals. You can see it in the way that God is using him in the lives of other people, right? He is growing, and it's shaping his life. Now, here's the deal, right? This letter was written to this group of believers because that is not everyone's story. There's believers that received this letter of Colossians whose growth was stunted, right? They'd received Jesus as Lord, but they weren't growing. They had received Jesus as Lord, but nothing was changing in their heart. Nothing was changing in their life. They were not using the opportunities that God had given them to grow up in their relationship with Christ. Look down at your Bibles again. Colossians 2, look at verse 8. Here's the result of them not growing. Verse 8 says this, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition." I'm telling you, right, there are believers there whose hearts were captured by the ideas of the day. There are believers in that first century whose hearts, whose minds, whose attitudes were captured by empty philosophy made and created with human minds. You think that's happening in today's world? There's a lot of people, believers included, that aren't growing spiritually And as they aren't growing spiritually, their minds are captured by the man-made philosophy of the day. And as their minds are captured by that, they are being pulled further and further and further away from the truth of the Word of God. It's a big deal. And it happens, but because hearts aren't being transformed, because believers aren't growing up in their relationship with Christ. There's another warning about this in Hebrews chapter 5. If your Bible's open, flip to Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse 11. The writer says about this, and he's talking about spiritual truth, right? So he says about spiritual truth, we've got a lot to say to you, but it's hard for us to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Think about that phrase. We can't explain spiritual truth to you anymore because you have become dull of hearing. He goes on to say, for by this time you should be teachers, but you need someone to teach you again the basics, the basic principles of God. He's saying you need milk, not solid food. He's saying you're still a child, right? You haven't grown up spiritually the way that a believer should grow up spiritually. Verse 13, he goes on to say, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to discern good from evil. Look at verse 11 again. These verses tell us why believers stopped growing in their love for Jesus. Verse 11 says this, it's because these believers became dull of hearing. Think about that phrase, dull of hearing. It doesn't say that these believers stopped growing because they didn't hear the truth. It doesn't say they stopped growing because they weren't around the Word of God or around the people of God. Many of the people receiving this letter would have gathered together with other church family members or believers as well, but they were not growing up. They had become dull of hearing. Look at the consequences of that. They needed milk. They could not grasp the basics on their own. They were unable to teach the basic principles of the Word of God to other people. And we know that's our calling, right? Last week, salt and light. We should be teaching the Word of God to other people. These people could not do that. It says that they were unskilled in the truth of the Word of God. And none of these things are good, right? And it's all because they had grown dull to hearing the truth. I want you to think about messages that you hear that you have grown dull to. Messages that have become so routine that you don't allow them to capture your heart or your mind anymore. You've been on an airplane recently? Or are you really engaged in that safety message from the flight attendants on the airplane? Like, were you locked in? Were you saying, tell me more? Were you giving them an amen when they were telling you how to put on a seatbelt? Of course not. Why not? You've heard it before. There's no life-changing information coming from there. You're not locked in to what's going on. You still hear the message. You still see that the people up there, you still see the whole deal. Seinfeld has a great bit on that whole deal. You see it, but you're dull to it. You don't pay attention to it anymore. There's another message that I think about when I think about becoming dull of hearing. Chelsea's grandfather, it was so incredibly funny. He had these hearing aids as he got older. And when our family would gather together and things would get loud, I would watch him reach up to his ears and just turn them off. Right? He would actively dull his hearing to the group when things got too loud or too crazy. And there were moments where I envied him, right? Where I wished, man, I could just reach up and turn everything off as well. And sometimes we do that in different areas of our life. But I'm going to tell you that is not supposed to be the case spiritually, right? That they had numbed themselves to the message and to the Word of God. They got dull to spiritual things. They heard and they did not listen, so they were not growing. This morning, listen, I'm pleading with you, tune into the Word of God. Engage with the Word of God. If you would say, listen, you're stepping on my toes this morning because I don't know that I'm growing. If you would say my ears have become dull a little bit to the truth that comes from the Word of God, let me just encourage you, engage in spiritual things. Lock in to spiritual things. Ask God to stir in your heart, stir in your mind, stir in your ears again so that spiritual things come to you. No matter what venue they come to you from, engage with them. And this morning, we're going to look at four opportunities that we do have to grow spiritually, four opportunities where the Word of God can come to us on a regular basis. Four opportunities that are available to each and every one of us to continue to grow up spiritually, to continue to grow and develop in our love relationship with God so that each and every day we are falling more and more in love with Jesus. And before we dive into it, I'm going to do a little exercise real quick. All right, it's okay to talk in church. That's okay, right? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to lean to the person next to you and just come up with a list. Four things that you could do to grow spiritually. Talk, guess, say what you think they might be right now. Four things to grow spiritually. Look at the person next to you. Talk. Go ahead and say it. Say, I think these are the four things that are going to be on the list. I think these are the four things that Stephen's going to say this morning. What are four opportunities that everybody has to grow spiritually? All right, you got your list? You thought it out? And here's the thing, for most people, when it comes to spiritual growth, I think we know what to do. I'm guessing whatever you just shared with the person sitting next to you, I'm guessing that most of those things will also be on the list that I'm about to share with you. But knowing, and doing are two different things, aren't they? Knowing something and acting on something are two very, very different things. It's like getting in shape. Most people know what to do. The knowledge is not the problem. Walking it out seems to be what trips people up. It's the same thing here. This morning, as we seek to love Jesus, as we seek to grow in our love for Jesus, to grow in our relationship with God, I want to encourage you, commit this summer to letting this summer be a summer of incredible spiritual growth in your relationship with God by leaning into the opportunities that He's given us. The first opportunity that we all have to grow spiritually is right here. Right, it's read the Bible. Was that on your list? Raise your hand. Was that on your list? I'm sure it was on everybody's list, right? The first opportunity we have to grow in our relationship with God, it's very simple. It's simply reading the Word of God. Let me read what 2 Timothy chapter 3 says. All Scripture, says the entirety of the Bible, is breathed out by God. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Are those growth words? All Scripture is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Those are things that are going to grow us up. Look at verse 17. So that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The Bible is God's complete and unchanging word for us. To grow in our relationship with God, we have an opportunity to read the very words of God for ourselves. Or that has not always been the case throughout history. We have access to the Word of God, the opportunity to read His very words each and every day. That this is not a chore. This is not a checklist. This is not a burden. This is not something that we have to do. This is an opportunity we have to see the very heart of God wherever we are in the course of our lives. When we read it, we see what's important to God. We see the love of God. We see the unfolding plan of God throughout Scripture. It is a beautiful thing. We see the life that He's called us to, the promises that He's given us, all right there. If you read the Bible regularly, you know how it changes your heart. You know how it changes your life. If that's you, let me encourage you this morning, grab hold of some other people and take them with you. Ask them to read the Bible with you. Ask them to study the Bible with you. Help other people take advantage of this opportunity that God's given us. And let me say this, if you don't read your Bible right now, and statistically speaking, there would be a lot, you're not alone. Statistically speaking, there might be a lot of people in here that do not regularly read their Bible. I'm guessing it's for one of these three reasons. Some people won't read their Bible because they say, man, I'm just so busy, I don't have time. If that's you, let me just ask you a question. What is more important than growing in your love for Jesus each and every day? I'm telling you now, you make time for the things that you value. You make time for the priorities of your life. Rearrange the priorities a little bit, put loving Jesus at the very top, and get in the Word of God. The current stats are Americans spend 7 hours and 4 minutes a day on their phone. Put it down, open up the Word of God, and grow in your love relationship with Him. Some people would say this, listen, I don't read my Bible because I don't know what to read. I don't know where to start. That's legitimate, Right, I completely understand that. If you pick up the Bible and you start somewhere and you don't understand what it's saying, you can't pick up and you can't follow what's going on, it would be very easy to set it back down and not pick it up again because you're just confused by it. If that's the case for you this morning, I'm going to give you a place to start. When you leave this morning, we've got copies of the book of Acts. Our team at the door is going to hand those to you. They're going to put one in your hand. Take it home with you and read one chapter a day, right, for the next 28 days, one chapter a day from the book of Acts. You'll have a month of knowing exactly where to go. You'll see the early church. You'll read about the early church. You'll see lives of people that are seeking to follow Jesus day in and day out. It will give you a place to start. And as you read, right, write down questions. Write down what you're noticing. Write down what God is teaching you and develop the habit of being in the Word each and every day. And then third and finally, some people might say, listen, I don't read the Bible because I don't want to. And if that's you this morning, if you would say, listen, I've stepped into a relationship with Christ, I've called Jesus my Lord, but I don't want to read the Bible, I want to encourage you this morning, make this note so you can go back and do this afternoon. Write down Hebrews chapter 5 and somewhere, put a note on your phone, and jump back and look at Hebrews chapter 5 this afternoon. That warning that was given in Hebrews chapter 5 was given to people whose hearts had cooled off in their relationship with God. And I would say that if your attitude towards the Word of God right now is, I just don't want to read the Word of God, then you need to get before the Lord with this attitude of humility, with this attitude of confession, and just say, God, listen, my heart has cooled off. I'm sorry. Rekindle that love that I have for you. God, show me fresh and anew what it means to be in a love relationship with you. If you would say, I don't read it because I don't want to read it, then you would fall in that category of Hebrews 5 where you've just become dull of hearing to the Word and to the truth of God. Ask Him to stir up in your heart again. Read His Word again. Let it set you on fire from the inside out so that you could grow the way that God has called each and every one of us to grow. A pastor friend of mine wrote this past week. I want you to listen to what he has to say. I think he's spot on here. He said, I really believe that Christians, not people in the community, he's talking to Christians here. I really believe that Christians not reading their Bible is a crisis in the church. The weakening of the church, it's not due to COVID. It's not due to cultural shifts or political turmoil, busy schedules, or hostility towards traditional beliefs. Rather, biblical starvation, indifference to biblical ignorance, and a lack of affection for the truth is causing these issues to take the heart away from those who have not given their hearts over to the Word of God. That's Colossians 2, right? People that aren't growing up, right? Even people in the church are having their hearts and their minds pulled away by empty philosophies of the day made by man. Let that not be said of us. Let's hold fast to the Word of God. Let's take advantage of the opportunity that He's given us, no matter how old we are, right, to grow in our relationship with Christ. Listen to what Psalm 19 says about the Word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect. It revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It makes wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. It enlightens the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean. It endures forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than the Word of God, right? More to be desired is the Word of God than gold, even fine gold. Sweeter is the Word of God than honey dripping off of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, by the Word of God as your servant, moreover, by them as the Christian living in 2022, moreover, by them as your servant warned. And in keeping them, there is great reward. Listen, this is the best opportunity we have to grow up in our relationship with Christ. This is the best opportunity we have to continue to see our love for Jesus, our passion for Jesus, our heart for Jesus growing day in and day out. What does Jesus say the most important command for us is? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your strength. This opportunity right here, right here. There is none better than this. Be in the Word of God. The second opportunity that we have is this, is we can pray. Right, pray and journal. We're going to move fast. I'm getting close to the end here. Right, we've got this opportunity not only to read the Word of God, we have the opportunity to talk to God, to pray, to grow closer to anyone. You've got to talk to him, right? Me and Altuve, we're not growing closer right now in our relationship. There's no conversation that's happening, right? To grow closer to your wife, to grow, or your husband, or your kids, or your friends, you have to talk to them. You have to communicate with them on a regular basis. You will never grow with someone if you're not talking to them. And if you want to grow with them, you will carve out time in your life to talk to them. That's just how it works. As we think about growing up, as we think about spiritually developing in our love for Jesus, prayer is part of it. Jesus modeled prayer for us. Jesus was infinitely more busy than you are, okay? He had a lot of people after him, a lot of people wanting time with him, a lot of people desiring to be with him. But the model that he set for us on earth was to withdraw and to spend time alone with God. It was to withdraw, to spend time in prayer before God. Spiritual growth happens through prayer. Spend time praying. If you're serious about growing up, carve out time in your life. Set it on your schedule. Say, this is my plan in the morning, in the evening, on my commute, whenever it is, spend time praying. That's an opportunity we have to grow up. Another opportunity that we have to grow in our relationship with God is by spending time with other believers. If you made a list right before we started these opportunities, I'm sure on your list you had Bible reading. We just covered that. I'm sure you had prayer. We just talked about that. Growing with other believers. You probably said you can grow by going to church, right? That's what this is. We spent several months recently going through the book of Acts here on Sunday mornings. And as we taught through it, there's one thing that I pointed out over and over and over again. We don't have one example in the early church of a believer growing up spiritually by themselves. They're always together. Always in the context of other believers speaking the truth of the Word of God into their life. Make sure that you're connected with other believers. And then finally, the last opportunity I've got for you to grow spiritually is this. And I'm going to say it, then I want to explain it. So stay with me. If you want to grow spiritually, live out the Word of God. Or if you want to grow spiritually, just do what God says. And as you do that, I'm telling you, something in your heart and your mind changes. Back to Hebrews 5, verse 14 again. He says, solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment. Listen to this phrase, trained by constant practice. Solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment, trained by constant practice to discern good from evil. God's word is saying that as we consistently live according to his word, as we consistently do what he has told us to do, we will grow. Have you ever heard someone say, man, I just want to go deeper? Someone in your life group said, man, I wish we could go deeper. Someone in your Bible study said, man, I want to go deeper in the word of God. This verse is telling us how, right? If you want to go deeper, it's simple obedience to what you know God has said to be true. Simple obedience, daily obedience to the Word of God. This verse says that as we do that, our minds and our hearts will be enlightened even more to the spiritual truths of the Word of God. Our daily choices, our daily acts of obedience contribute to our ability to understand these deep and theological truths, right? Four opportunities right there that we all have to grow up spiritually in our love for Jesus each and every day. And remember, this is a relationship series, relationships, right? We're talking about growing up in a personal, intimate, one-on-one relationship with the God that created us. Nothing that we've written out here, none of these opportunities are an academic exercise. The goal for us is not more knowledge. The goal for us is not to say we've developed these habits in our lives. This is not a to-do list. All of these are opportunities that you and I have available at our fingertips each and every day to draw our hearts closer and closer to Jesus. Years ago, I heard someone say this: you determine your level of intimacy with God. He's not going anywhere. He's right there with you, but you determine your level of intimacy with him. He has given us so many opportunities to grow in our relationship with him. We know what they are, right? That they aren't secrets to us. That the question for us is simply, what are you doing with the opportunities that God has given you to grow? Back to the original question. Are you growing in your love for Jesus? Are you at a different place now than you were the day you trusted Christ? Are you at a different place now than you were a year ago? Are you at a different place now than you were January 1st of 2022? Are you growing in your love for Jesus? And my prayer is this, that all of us would take the opportunities that God has given us and that we would make this a summer and a year of unprecedented spiritual growth as day in and day out we fall more in love with Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me? I just want to encourage you, bow your heads and go to the Lord in prayer right where you're at about your heart growing up in your love relationship with him. And if at the very beginning of this sermon you heard step one and you heard me say you can't grow with somebody unless you're in a relationship with somebody, if you would say, you know what, that's me, I'm not in a relationship with Christ. I have never trusted him as Lord. I've never trusted him as Savior. I have never trusted in him for the forgiveness of my sins. If that's you this morning and you have never trusted in Christ, that's the step that you need to take today. You cannot grow closer to the God that created you unless you're in a relationship with the God that created you. So this morning, if you'd say, I need to trust Jesus, in just a minute when we're dismissed, I'm going to ask you to come talk to me or to come talk to one of our prayer partners. In our connection room at the back, and slip in those doors and say, man, I need to trust Jesus. It's got to start there for me today. And if that's you, make sure you stop in there. This morning, if you have trusted Jesus, and you would say, you know what? I'm not growing spiritually. Let me encourage you. Take a minute in this time of prayer to confess that before God and say, God, you know what? Busyness of this life, the craziness of this life, the priorities of this life, whatever it is that has your attention and your focus right now, just say, man, it's taken my eye off the ball. It's caused me to look to other things. And just confess that to him right now. Say, God, help me to take advantage of the opportunities that I have to grow in my relationship with you. There's so many warnings in the Bible, so many passages that where we look and we see that are written to believers that aren't growing spiritually. I know that carries forward from the first century to today. I know there's believers that are connected to church. I know there's believers that are here, they're active, that are engaged, that might not be growing spiritually. If that's you this morning, just commit to taking advantage of the opportunities that God has given you to grow. Or plug into the Word of God. Spend time in prayer. Let other believers come alongside you. And then just simply live out what God has put in your heart. Let that be your declaration right now before God, that starting today, you'll be able to look back on this day next summer and know that your heart is deeper and closer in a love relationship with Christ. Heavenly Father, that's our prayer, is that each and every day, our focus, our heart would be you. God, it's not about us. It is all about you. I pray for every person in this room this morning, God. Lord, I pray that no matter where we're at in our walk, no matter where we're at in our journey, that we would grow deeper and closer in our love for you. God, you said, and Jesus said, John 10, you've come so we can have life and have it too. The fullest, and we know that comes as our hearts fall deeper and closer and more in love with you each and every day. God, grow us up into who you've called us to be. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforce.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.